All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pros and Cons.
Yay!
We are with the English Student Association, and this is our podcast, Pros and Cons, pun intended. If you listened to Pros and Cons last year, you might notice that our voices sound a little bit different. So we are two new individuals hosting this. If we want to introduce ourselves, Nicole.
Sorry, I was fixing my headphones. Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm the VP of events for the ESA. I was on the podcast one time last year, so our super fans should recognize my voice. If you don't, then you're not allowed to listen to this anymore. Just kidding. I'm VP of events. I'm doing a combined major in English and Film and a minor in Soc. Yeah, are we doing our favorite books right now?
We didn't talk about favorite books in a sec.
We'll do it after. Yeah. It's a little prompt we have, a little sneak peek behind exactly. The scenes. Okay, Rachel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rachel. I am the Vice President of Outreach for the ESA this year. Very exciting. It's been very fun so far. It is currently November, so we are 2.5 months into the school year.
Yeah.
But it's been a great 2.5 months so far. I am majoring in English. I have a minor in Women and Gender Studies. Used to be a combination major, but it is now a minor. Both of us are really excited to be doing this. This is fun little tidbit. Our third time recording this tidbit. Episode.
Yeah.
So we're really hoping that this time, if you're listening to this, that's
great. Time's a charm. That's what they third always say.
Third time's a charm. We're knocking on wood. Not like Taylor Swift, but
a little bit like Taylor Swift.
A little bit like Taylor Swift. The superstition part about that song. But
yeah.
Anyways, we want to talk about all things English, all things Laurier English. We're very excited. But before we jump into more things of the episode, something we wanted to continue on this year, a little tradition, is our favorite right now. It's a little segment at the beginning. We want to talk about what is our favorite right now. Nicole, go for it.
My favorite little thing I have right now, my favorite thing right now, is Cherry Coke. I am going through a phase. I love a good Cherry Coke. I don't know if you guys are on that. I'm on that. I think Coke is so good in the summer, particularly. I usually don't drink it outside the summer because I think it's such a good thirst quencher in the summer. And then I don't want to drink it the rest of the year because, like, I'm too cold. And I prefer water. But it's really good right now. So I'm really in a Cherry Coke phase. And I recommend it. If you haven't tried it, I recommend it.
Period.
Rachel, what's your favorite?
My favorite right now, if it gives any insight into maybe how I'm doing, is Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac. It's actually been my number one song right now. My headphones broke a couple weeks ago, so I've been wearing my performative little wired headphones.
Oh my God.
And they don't retain sound very well in that, like, you can hear them when I'm blasting music. Like, you know what I mean? Like, other people can hear it.
Good.
And I had it at full volume.
Put them on it.
I had them at full volume yesterday on the bus coming home. And I do feel a little bit bad because it felt like a public disturbance. But also, I think that they would have heard me listening to Silver Springs and thought, yeah, that girl needs this right now. So...
Whoa.
That
Did
was
you guys
a
hear
sound.
That?
Anyways, that's my favorite right now.
That is a good favorite.
Yeah.
I do say so myself.
Yippee. Anyways, so we want to share a little bit about what the podcast will be about. I mean, obviously, we'll be talking about English. We'll be talking about literature, some of the books we're reading in class. But also, like, the English department at Laurier as a whole.
We're big fans.
We are very big fans. Nicole and I spend hours upon hours of our free time talking about the classes that we've taken and, like, some of the things that we've learned in class, some of the books we've read. And so this is basically just an extension of those conversations. It'll be really fun. And it's not just for English students. If you're not an English student at Laurier, why not? But also you are more than welcome to listen and hopefully get something out of this, because we'll just be talking about literature and all the fun things.
And some pop culture up in here, if you will.
Yes.
Pop culture from the past 2,000 years or so.
Maybe present. Well, yeah. And present, because I think last time we tried recording this, Taylor had just put out her new album.
I was thinking about that earlier.
Yeah, we were talking about the fate of Ophelia.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the fate of Ophelia, Nicole?
Still don't like it. I don't like
As a Hamlet fan, what are your qualms?
Hamlet is my favorite Shakespeare play. It's one of the reasons I decided to do an English major. And the song really irks me because she's saying that a man saved her from the fate of Ophelia. And if you haven't read Hamlet, then sorry, spoiler alert, but you're a little 400 years too late, so I don't really feel that bad. But basically, Ophelia goes crazy and dies, and she goes crazy because of the men in her life, because they literally make her crazy because Hamlet's acting crazy, and then her brother is being the worst, and then her dad dies from Hamlet's craziness. It's a very complicated play, but she dies, and it's unclear if she kills herself or dies accidentally and just falls, and Taylor Swift's song is saying that a man saved her from Ophelia's fate, and that really pisses me off, because the men are who put her in that place. So I guess to some extent you could say that about Taylor Swift, whatever, she's like, it's maybe you're saving me from my heartbreak, but I don't think that that's a good metaphor, and I don't like that she did that at all. And I think she could have done so
I feel like Ophelia is such a rich like character.
Yes,
like I don't know, I feel like there are so many things that you can do with the Ophelia like concept or motif, I guess, because like, yes, she's a character, but I feel like she's so much more than that, in the sense of like,
yeah,
the cultural like the impact of it.
There's like a rite of passage, mm-hmm, for all artists to make
Lumineers
to do like the Ophelia, like, you know, there's like paintings and, mm-hmm, there's songs like Lumineers, and it's like a thing.
Do you want to know who I think should do an Ophelia, like a song about Ophelia?
Who?
Hozier.
Oh, that would be good.
I feel like he could do it justice.
I feel like he could, but I feel like it's not like he like.
I feel like he dabbles with the tragedies and like.
He does, but he's more so like, I just think of him and I think of like Dante, because he needs to like explore that that stuff. Whoops.
Anyways. That was our little pop culture aside.
Yeah, pop culture's in this.
But anyways, Nicole and I do have some thoughts on Taylor Swift's new album.
Yeah.
I like Fave Ophelia. I really enjoy listening to it. But yeah, I agree with you in that like the motif of it in general
is,
as an English major,
terrible.
Not a happy camper. But anyways.
Are we continuing with Taylor Swift?
We could continue with Taylor Swift.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think also
we could always come back.
Well, let me include this really quick. Yeah. One other thing, Nicole and I are both such big like folklore Evermore fanatics. And especially with like us being English majors and like
hello, have you heard the lakes?
Have you heard the lakes?
Have you ever heard
basically
us talk?
Have you heard the lakes? Have you heard the lakes? Do you know about the Lakes District?
Do you
know
understand
about the
pun Wordsworth in it? Do you get the
Do
pun?
Do you know what my words
what
are
my
worth?
Words.
Oh my God. It's just, it's so good. And so I think both of us are just sad music gals to our core. And so maybe we just don't get, maybe we just hate fun.
No, I don't think I hate fun. Because I love a good fun song.
Yeah.
I prefer her sad songs because I think she's more lyrically rich in them. And I enjoyed the topics of Folklore and Evermore more than I did, say, Lover.
Yeah.
Which I do still love that album. I think it's very good.
Yeah.
And it's lyrically great. I just prefer being able to dive into, you know, a fake story that you make, a fake love triangle. I just prefer looking at that because I like getting that analysis out of a song.
It's even too, like, Lover still had great lyrics to a degree. Mm-hmm. Like, there was great lyricism involved with Lover, but it was still fun. That's where this album has fallen short for me, is like,
yes,
there are some lyrics and I'm like, that is a bar. Like, you, that is classic Taylor Swift. That is great. That is wonderful. Like, there's a couple lines here and there that I'm like, that's great. But overall, it is so lyrically.
It's just lacking. She set a high standard for herself and she can't live up to the standard.
Yeah.
And or at least I don't think this lives up to the standard.
Yeah, this definitely does. Not to say that she can't in the future, but I think that we're so English majors to our core. Like, I want a didactic song. Taylor Swift, give me something to analyze.
Yeah. I think that we both enjoy music in a very specific way, when we very much focus on the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's,
like, I listen to a song for the lyrics things. More than the, like.
Yeah. Like, the production still matters.
Yeah.
So much, except the lyrics are, like, the main thing that I'm going to be listening mm-hmm. to and paying attention to, because they're what's so interesting to me.
Sorry. I could have done that right into the mic.
That would have been crazy.
I feel like I forget to breathe when we do this because I'm scared to, like, breathe heavy and someone hear it.
I feel like I forget to swallow. I don't want to hear them hear me swallowing. I feel gross. Ugh.
Anyways, okay. Well, now that we just had that nice little aside, I think we can kind of gather that Nicole and I really, really love our major. You mentioned, like, you kind of wanted to go into English because of Hamlet.
Yeah.
Is that...
Do I expand?
Yeah, you can keep...
Yeah, I'll expand. I'll tell my origin story. So in high school, in grade 12, I was in English in my, like, first semester, and I had no idea what I was going to do after university. I was actually, like, planning on doing psych. Fun fact, I wanted to be a therapist. Yeah, because I liked that, like, concept of, like, looking into the meaning behind something, you know, while you're doing that. And then I was in my English class, and I had a different teacher for the first time of all my 4 years of high school. It was great. I liked the other one, too. Shout out, Miss Thatcher. But this one just, like, she changed it for some reason for me. And we started looking at text in such a, like, different way. And I really was, like, getting it. And I was really into it. And we did Hamlet for so long. And I still have my notes from it. And I have, like, a full notebook of everything that happened and what it means. Like, it was intense. And I was just loving it. Like, I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is so for me. I love that I can do this. And I've always loved reading and all of that stuff. I've loved kind of analysis. Like, I like digging deep into things. I was never a science person. I cannot do science. I cannot do math. And I was, like, in this class, and I was just having such a great time analyzing and talking about Hamlet. And then we went into Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead. I don't know if you've ever read that. Oh my god, it was amazing. I was like, wait, this is crazy. Like, I get it. Like, this is so interesting. I like that we can look at the text from a different perspective. And I was like, this is for me. Like, I'm going to do this. And then I
And here you are. To
English.
Yippee.
Yippee. So why did you go into English, Rachel? Let's turn the tables.
Well, I always really did like English in high school. I took, like, pre-AP English.
I didn't have that. I had to take the regular university one because I was in French immersion, though.
No, I took pre-AP English, and I really liked it. And then I missed the AP exam, so I never ended up getting a credit for it. I was so mad. But I am kind of glad that I still did it because it helped me then coming into university. The first-year English classes that I took, I felt, like, more prepared. But I actually came in not majoring in English, and I switched into English, like, halfway through my second year, like, by the end of my second year. Great decision. Love it. It was just in my first year... I took, like, the Lit and Love, and we sat together. And Lit and Crime. I took both of them, both semesters. We didn't
sit together in Lit and Crime.
Well, because I don't think
but we were in the same tutorial, fun fact.
Yes. Yes, we were. Yeah, and I really, really liked it. I think one of the big things for me was I appreciated, like, the scope of it, if that makes sense, of, like, Lit and Love, for example. Like, we read Pride and Prejudice. I think it's the same book list, even now, 3 years later.
I have no idea.
But, like, you read Pride and Prejudice, which is this, like, you know, traditional great love story, but it's, like, white, heterosexual, like, upper class. But then we also read Americana, which is, like, a diaspora, and it's a love story between, like, immigrants and how class factors into that. And then we also do Johnny Appleseed, which was about an indigenous boy who, like, didn't actually cut. Hold on. I just misgendered that motherfucker.
I don't even remember Johnny Appleseed as fuck.
And then we also read Johnny Appleseed, which is about an indigenous person who it like the love isn't reciprocated. So like it's really interesting to look at love across all these different
like contexts.
Yeah, all these different contexts, and that love isn't this one idea of it, if that makes sense.
Like outside like, of just romantic.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah. That
all
too.
Consuming. Mm-hmm. Like we love each other.
Yeah. Because like Pride and Prejudice is, you know, great. Like it is like that, like, wow, love story. Like everyone loves Pride and Prejudice. But I appreciate being able to look at all these other different parts of it and all these other different facets of it. And I think that that is one of my favorite parts about English is how many different things. Let me back this up for a second. I have a friend who every time I talk to him about my English classes, he's like, oh, the door is red. What if the door was just red? Like, the author just wanted the door to be red. And we will spend like an entire English class talking about why the door is red, because there is meaning behind it. And this is specifically in regards to our class that we had like 2 months ago with Jane Eyre in our 19th century British novel class. Yeah, the red room.
Yeah.
And my friend always asserts, he's like, maybe the door was just red. Like, not everything has to have a meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of my favorite parts about English, is that everything can have a meaning behind it when you like look into things and pick things apart. And like, sure, maybe the author wasn't thinking all of this, but it's still fun to like pull on these threads and like think about what this could mean and what like implications it has and all these things.
Yeah, maybe the door was just red, but it doesn't mean that it just has to be read to you. And that's I think my favorite part about English, is that you can so you can have your own interpretation and understanding of everything, and if you can just prove it, then it's right, because there's no right answer to understanding a subjective text. Me too.
I like, all the respect to my STEM friends and like the right or wrong on a quiz.
I get it. It's not for me, though.
It's not for me.
I don't want to think, I'm going to get controversial. I don't want to think in just it's right or wrong. I want to think in, what can I say here?
Yep.
I want to say, what's new? Yep. What can I say that hasn't been said? Or what can I like find that we didn't talk about in class?
Yes. I think that, and maybe we are getting controversial.
We definitely are.
I'm maybe going, digging ourselves into a bigger hole. But I think this is a very, this is maybe an issue with the rise in anti-intellectualism around the world.
Oh my God.
With the devaluing of arts majors, in that our major, as much as people like to joke about arts majors and like, oh, you're just going to be a Starbucks barista. When I come out of this degree, I always tell people, I'm not like, yes, I'm coming out of the degree with like, yes, I can analyze a text and write an essay and whatever, but I'm also learning critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
And I'm learning how to look beyond a binary. And I'm learning about, like, I feel like some things in life, like, yes, they are black and white, but I think that everything can have that gray area.
I don't
everything,
think anything is black and white.
I don't think anything is black and white. Opinion, except maybe like 1 + 1. But then you can argue, who told you that 1 + 1 = 2? Like,
yes, Rachel, it's all subjective. Everything is subjective.
Everything is subjective. I don't know. I think that this whole like thinking that things don't mean things is part of this whole dumb, like, devaluing of the arts, and like people aren't willing to look beyond a binary of things. And I think that I don't know,
always think about it's kind of like, he kind of says something similar to this in Dead Poets Society, if you've ever seen that. Robin Williams says it, where the arts are like necessary, or not the arts, sorry, the sciences are necessary for us to stay alive. Like, yes, we need doctors, yes, we need all these people, but what's the point of staying alive if we don't have art?
Yeah.
Have you ever like read any of those books or watched any of those movies where they have no art? They have no world.
Like Substance.
It's so. Oh, I thought you were talking about The Substance.
Oh, and no, no. Like a movie that doesn't have Substance.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing in it. Like, The Giver, for example. Have you ever read that or watched that movie?
I've heard of it.
It's like they. I haven't read it either. It's just my best friend's favorite book, so I know a lot about it. But it's like the most mainstream example I can think of, because I'm just thinking of like douchey art films. Like, I'm like thinking about this French 50s film right now that I'm like, this is such a good example, but I can't even talk about it because it's, no one's gonna know what I'm talking about, so it's not a good example. But like in The Giver, they live in an empty, basically, society where there's, everything is like gray, they have no memories, they have nothing going on except for this one guy who's the giver, and he like gives people memories. It's something like that. Sorry if I'm wrong. I again have not read it, but basically they live in such a worthless society. Like, there's nothing there. It's literally just like, it gets Marxist, because you're just there to make things, you're not there to live. There's no experience, there's no love or anything like that. Like, I don't even think, I think there's, I've seen the movie like years ago, and I'm pretty sure there's a scene where they like, he like kisses a girl and she's like, wait, you can't do that, and he's like, no, but like, we can, because he has the memories or something. Like, there's nothing in the world without art, is like my genuine belief. And there needs to be people who understand that and who can look at that and appreciate the art. Otherwise, the artists aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think arts are so important.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I feel like I could go on a tangent right now about AI.
I Me too. I was having an argument yesterday about AI, or 2 days ago. Like, argument about AI. Like, I was down. I was like, no, it makes you an idiot.
It
and
does.
I was like, no, it doesn't. I was like, no, but it does. You're not learning anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know. This is also maybe like a, I feel like, and this is coming from, like, I pay for my own school, so this is kind of where I'm coming from with this, and maybe that is like a, this is a privileged take. But so much of me, whenever I see people use AI, I'm like, that is such a waste, like, of your education. And I know that there are people in university who are like, I'm here to get a degree so that I can get a better job. And I'm not not invalidating that. I'm not saying that that's, like, wrong. But I know, at least for me, and I feel like most people would like to say that, like, they are here to learn and to grow and be a better person. And when you use AI, and I feel like especially for our major with English, it's like, what is the point?
You're really getting rid of all your critical thinking
You're
skills.
Literally, it's so, like, I don't know. I think that critical thinking is becoming a lost skill. And I don't know, maybe I am too woke. Like,
I don't think there's such a thing.
I actually think woke is a social construct, but
I digress. Think everything is a social construct.
Everything is a social construct.
We're getting off track.
Karl Marx,
we have some
guys.
Things to say.
Karl Marx.
Guys, let us tell you about lit theory.
Oh my God. Okay, so the background of why Nicole and I are the way that we are.
Our foundations
like, in this, in all of this, because I swear we were normal a year ago.
Normal is pushing it, but we weren't so woke, as you say.
Well, again, social construct.
Yeah.
I hate the whole stick. I just hate the anyways.
True, Rachel, whatever you say.
The reason why Nicole and I are the way that we are is genuinely because of literary theory. EN 301.
Yes.
The
That plays every time you say EN 301, by the way. It just happens.
We didn't press any buttons. That's just what the universe does because the universe recognizes how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is the only required course, at least now it is. I think the program requirements has changed in the last couple of years, but I think now EN 301 or like some lit theory.
Because it's
required
second year one.
To graduate.
Yeah, you need a theory requirement.
Yes.
And EN 301 is the most offered.
Yeah, most offered and definitely the most comprehensive, I would say.
Yeah,
definitely recommend it.
Yes, but even if you're not an English major, even if it's not required, because it's not required for double majors, learn that too late. I recommend it to everyone ever.
Genuinely one of the best courses I've ever taken. It was without a doubt the hardest course I've ever taken because of how much was a lot of work. There was a lot of content, like,
and it was
readings
hard
and stuff
to understand.
But at the end of the day, it was hard because it was like, I remember our professor gave like a disclaimer at the beginning being like, this is going to challenge so many things that you think you already know or like ways of thinking.
Shout out Dr. Petch,
best professor of all time.
We love Petch.
We love Dr. Petch around here. Nicole and I actually speak so highly of him.
We really, really. We're truly big fans. Anyways. We recommend any class with him ever.
Yeah, anything he teaches, just take it.
Yeah. If he's not even teaching anything, just go talk to him. He's kind of cool.
He is kind of cool. We love you, Dr. Petch. Anyways, he gave like a disclaimer because it's like we studied there was 12 weeks, so probably 10 to 11 different like theories. And so we covered like formalism, structuralism, kind of like the formal like literary theories. But then we pull in psychoanalysis and we pull in eco-criticism and feminism and Marxism. And it's like, I think there's a lot of overlap with other like disciplines.
There
like,
is so much. Even in just like structuralism and formalism.
Yeah.
They come up in everything.
Yeah. Like, so like even I don't know. English just has so much to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much more substance behind or
like,
beyond. There's a red door.
Yeah. I used structuralism and post-structuralism to win an argument with a science major a few weeks ago, like, to prove my point and be like, you're just thinking of this in a binary way, and let me explain to you what that means. And I did, and I was proved right.
Who's calling you?
Should we answer on the air?
Yeah, on the air.
Hello?
Oh,
I keep
I'm getting
keep
those. That in.
My resume. I just got a job. Anyway, what were we saying? Lit theory is awesome.
Lit theory.
Lit theory is awesome, but it has also ruined me. What? Just in the sense that I can't think of anything.
Normally?
I keep applying the theories to everything. Like, you should see Rachel and I's text, or, like, anyone who was in that class, like, Jenna or Julia, like, I will be like, this is structuralism. Like, in a random class, or even just in my day-to-day life, like, I'll be doing something, and I'll be like, oh my god, like, yes, like, okay, that's so, like, I don't know, Laura Mulvey. Like, that makes so much sense. Like,
I was doing this last weekend. I was watching Superman with the same...
You can apply them to everything.
The same friend that says the red door thing, but I digress. And I remember writing... I have my notebook with me. I remember literally writing, this is why Karl Marx. Because I'm like, they're so...
Yes.
Like, I don't know. And again, maybe James Gunn or any other director or writer or artist or poet or whoever isn't intending for this kind of interpretation, or isn't intending for it to have like this didactic meaning to it. But I think when you
can find it.
When you can, yeah. Like,
because it's in our society.
It's in our, we live in a society.
We live in a society, and it's socially constructed.
Yeah.
Which is why those are put in there, and they don't know. When you're watching Superman and they don't even realize they're saying something Marxist, it's because it's just so deeply like conditioned, put in our society. Oh my gosh, like it makes me lose my mind.
Preach.
But I like love it, but I'm also like, I feel insane. But it also makes me feel so smart. Like, I'm so happy when I do so something smart. Like that. Thank you, Rachel. Like, I'll be like, oh, this is like formalism, or I'll be doing a reading and I'm like, oh my gosh, Levinas. Like, this literally happened to me yesterday, and I texted Rachel and I said, Levinas in my reading, what? And I'm like having that moment, and I'm like, okay, so I know what they said, and then I realize that I've learned, and it's such a good moment, because I'm like, I've learned so much, like I'm applying what I learned in this class to my everyday life.
Or I didn't even tell you, I was reading, I'm doing a research paper for a history class I'm taking, and Roland Barthes was in it. And I
think about him constantly.
He comes up so much in research, even when it's like, this isn't even like an English paper. And I think this is one of the things I was saying before with lit theory, is like, it's like psychoanalysis, for example, is like, that is not like an inherently literature based like, theory.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, psych majors go and do their thing with that and learn about Sigmund Freud and Lacan and whatever. But like, then you get to understand what it means and think about it. When you think about literature through a lens like that, of like, it's not inherently a literature theory or a literary theory, it still opens up so many other pathways to interpret a text or a poem or something.
It just becomes a way you can apply theory.
Yeah.
Like, Lacan comes up all the time. Everywhere. And I know what the mirror stage is from lit theory. Like, and I understand it so well from that. And I can be like, oh, this is what they're saying because it's the mirror stage. And I literally, like, I'll be taking notes in class and I'll be like, Lacan. Or I'll be like, Horkheimer and Adorno.
This is so Said.
Like, it tells me what to think.
Yep.
Or not what to think, but it like gives me like a little, it's like, what are those called? Mnemonic devices. It's like my own mnemonic device.
No, honestly, is like the lit theory theorist.
Literally.
No, but I feel like it helps with like having a more comprehensive understanding of something. Like, and it helps really with like that recall. Like, when I'm in an exam and I'm like, oh, right, this was like kind of like what Gilbert and Gubar said. And then like that kind of triggers my brain to remember the rest of it. Yeah. I don't know. It's,
and then you can apply, like, you even learn these like theorists, and they're like the key theorists. Mm-hmm. So then when you're in a different class and you're doing, say, like a Marxist reading on Jane Eyre, then you can pull on Althusser and Marx and whoever you want, like Horkheimer and Adorno, all these people. And you have, like, you know the major texts and you know the ideas, so it makes your, like, analysis so much better, and it's the best experience ever. I go back to my lit theory notes all constantly, the time. And I just like to fact check myself or just like to pull out an idea that I've had, and it's amazing. Like, I'm so happy that I took that class. Every single day, I'm so grateful for it, genuinely.
I love lit theory.
Thank you, Laurier, for making me take it. Thank you, Dr. Patch, for teaching it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, theorists, for theorizing.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Lit theory.
Lit theory.
I love lit theory. What else do we want to talk about?
Yeah, what next?
That's kind of everything on here.
We literally just, like, go through too fast.
What are you reading right now for your classes?
Right now I'm reading The Mill on the Floss for 19th century British novel, which Rachel's also in. And that also happens anytime you mention anything to do with Dr. Nemesvari for some strange reason.
It's just so mystical.
No one knows why. And I'm also reading a book called Nightwork, which is like a poetry anthology for sports lit, and it's like a collection of poems written about one hockey player. That's very interesting. Okay. Terry Sawchuk. Do you know who that is, Rachel? You're a hockey girl. He's from the 50s.
I don't know. I feel like I recognize the name, but maybe I don't.
Goalie. Very famous. Very interesting man.
Goalies are interesting men.
Yeah. I've been applying lots of my lit theory concepts to our readings. It's actually crazy. What are you reading for class?
Right now, we just started The Tempest in my Shakespeare performance class. So I haven't read it before.
Neither have I, but I really want to because I hear it's like crazy because it was the last one and he was just going for it.
It is kind of crazy. I feel like I'm a little bit lost. I'm not going to lie. Oh. I only finished reading Act One before the class. Because I'm sorry, I just didn't have time. But I'm going to try and like read all of it this weekend. I don't know, I feel like I'm a little bit lost right now, but I know that is the one nice part about English is like you cannot understand a text and go into class and have a lively discussion about it and come away with such a good understanding. That is not to say don't read the text and then go to class and you'll be fine. Still read the text, but there is a world where even if you don't maybe finish it or don't fully understand it,
they really help you. Yeah. They really help guide you.
Yeah.
That's what, we had a Meet the Profs event a month ago now, and I was talking to Dr. Nemesvarian, and he said, Nicole, you talk so much when I see you outside of class, but you don't talk in class. And I was like, I'm just writing down what you're saying because you explain it in such a good way that I need to, like, get it down. But I'm not, like, I'm less so focused on, like, you know, having a discussion right now because I'm trying to write down thought, like my thoughts and what you're saying and like an understanding of the book, and I'm like going through my book at the same time and I'm like, I'm trying and I try and contribute, but I'm just really trying to get what you're saying down. And ever since I've been participating, so I hope that he feels appreciated for it. So thanks, Dr. Nemesvari.
Yippee.
But I actually also love him.
So yeah, we have some pretty cool professors.
Yeah, I really love all the English profs. Yeah.
I'm a sucker. I really love Dr. Weinling. That just
I've never had her, and I'm very upset about it.
She just started.
I'm still upset.
Yeah.
Well, she's spoken of very highly.
She's so wonderful. She's such a great like teacher. Like, I love people who are like, you are so good at educating people. Oh. I feel like you're one of those people for me.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna cry.
Don't cry.
It's the nicest thing Rachel's ever said to me. Just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I appreciate when professors are willing to like deconstruct things in like, because like at the end of the day, like these like professors, like they are experts in this stuff. Like they know everything there is to know about like The Tempest or Mill on the Floss, but they still come into class and they approach it in a way that's so
like they,
digestible and like also encouraging you to have your own thoughts about it and like not just saying like this is the only valid interpretation of this text or the only valid interpretation of the red door. It's like it's giving room for discussion, and like I love being in class and like hearing what other people have to say about things, because you read something one way but then you go into class and hear what the person beside you literally read the exact same thing but they have a totally different understanding of it. And I think that that is just such a beautiful part about literary analysis and English classes, is hearing all the different perspectives.
Agreed. That's my favorite part about it. I like when my understanding is expanded.
Yeah.
Like, I love class discussions. Like, anyone who asks me, that's always my answer. I'm like, no, my favorite part of being an English major is class discussions. Like, I want to hear everyone's opinions. And I want to, like, expand on things. And I want to get into an argument. Like, I'm literally arguing with people in my classes often.
And, like, because, like, even if I don't agree with your perspective or I don't think that what you were saying is, like, correct, maybe, it's still, like, so valuable.
Yeah, like, it's not correct to me, but it's correct to you, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And it's so fun.
And it's, like, I want
to
know what...
differently.
Yeah, like, I would love to know what had... I don't know. What led you to that interpretation.
Yeah.
And, like...
like, what, defend it.
Were you also looking through the lens of a literary theory? Like,
exactly.
Was it a psychoanalysis view that led you to this conclusion.
Exactly. It's so interesting.
And if it was,
then
sorry, I can't. I feel like I'm losing it, Nicole.
Me too. I don't know what else. What are we talking about?
Fact that this man is a fucking asshole. I'm snapping him.
Tell him the red door means he should die.
The red. I need to look sexy. I don't know what else to say, Nicole. I don't know what else to talk about.
We talked about the ESA. We haven't really done that.
What do we talk about the ESA?
Events coming up.
I'm starting to lose it.
I can tell. We have the events. You can talk about the newsletter. We can talk about the club fair that's happening in January.
So
talk about the squad. No.
Oh. Wow. Hello. That's so beautiful. You sound like a talk show host.
That's what I'm going for.
Anyways, the English Student Association. Hopefully we'll get this episode out and we'll be able to, you know.
That was so crazy.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyway, so the English Student Association.
We had our murder mystery a couple weeks ago. Yes. Which was very, very fun.
It was very good.
It was romantic poet themed.
Yeah. Hopefully everyone came. If you didn't, then you probably heard how good it was from your friends and got jealous. So I think we're going to do another one. We're going to try to. In February.
Yeah. I feel like one of the biggest reasons why Nicole and I just loved it so much is because we did romantic poet themed.
It was so fun.
It was so much fun to put together. Like, we spent hours working on it.
Like, there were so many little, like, niche little references that only made sense to us, but it was, like, amazing because it was, like, yes, like, this is real. It's based in realism. And it was just so funny. It was amazing.
Like, some of the details in the murder mystery was, like, that actually happened in real life.
Yeah.
Some of it was totally
not true at all.
Not true at all.
But a lot of it was grounded in reality, which is so fun.
It wasn't just, like, pulling it, like, out of thin air. Like, it was, a lot of it was, like, some of it was. Like, we basically, like, just landed on a person to be the murderer.
But it also made sense. Motivation worked from real life. Like, it was so good, kind of.
Yeah. In a roundabout way, yes.
It made sense.
Yeah.
Made sense.
No, it was so much fun, Nicole and I. This was our first foray into taking classes with Dr. Petch, was taking one of the romanticism classes. Lit theory are two of, like, our favorite classes that we've ever taken. Yeah. It was so much fun. I love William Wordsworth.
Me too. He's my favorite poet.
Yeah, it's just so great. So, yeah, murder mystery was really, really fun.
We had a movie and paint night, and that was a fun time. Painted some tote bags. I painted the Very Hungry Caterpillar, and I'm very proud of it. I don't know when this comes out, but next week we have game night, which is fun. And then we have a couple study events for exams.
Yeah, because they're coming up fast.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. I think it's like 3 weeks.
Yeah. I was saying that today. Oh, my gosh. I said, oh, my gosh, in a month today, I have an exam. And Julia said, Julia's our friend who's also in the ESA and also is an English major, if you could not tell, and also one of our best friends. She said, Nicole, how did you not realize that? Like, do you not have a grasp on time like that? And I was like,
that was rude.
I know. I was like, oh, my God, Julia. Like, I do. I just didn't, like, click. It just clicked right now that, like, that's, like, 1 month. Like, it made sense that I was like, okay, like, a few weeks away, but, like, that's 1 month.
Wait, in 1 month, I'm going to be done exams. Exactly. My last one is on the 11th.
I thought that NEMS was today. Was on the 13th? Is it on the 12th?
I think it's the 11th.
I have no idea.
We should double check.
We should.
Both of us should.
Yeah.
Because both of us could be wrong. Imagine it's, like, the 12th.
Wait, I'll have it written down.
Anyways, it's just hard to believe. I feel like the semester has gone by so fast.
Me too.
Wow. What a time to be alive. Guys, what a beautiful day it is to be a Laurier Golden Hawk.
It's great to be a Laurier Golden Hawk.
It's great to be.
Oh, his is on the 11th, and then I have another one on the 12th.
Ah.
I'd be done exams in 1 month.
Month today, and we're going to be free.
That's crazy.
And now I'm free.
And we have a few weeks, and we come back for winter.
Free falling.
I'm really excited for the new movie, I exclaimed with excitement. Little did I know, it would be a feature.
creature feature.
Featuring the creature. I'm.
Just play it on repeat.
I'm really excited for the new movie, I exclaimed with excitement. Little did I know it would be a
Wait, I like that line. It's a Halloween one.
Featuring.
Okay. That's how I feel right now. I feel like we should wrap up. We have 40 minutes. I feel like we can get a good, solid 25-minute episode.
I think we're good. All
right.
I think it's all good in the hood.
It's all good in the hood. Sorry, I feel like I'm crashing out. Okay.
You want to know what I'm going to do after this?
What are you going to do? Kiss me on the mouth?
No, get a Cherry Coke. They have at 7-Eleven.
Are you...
Cherry Coke.
I'm gonna crash out. I feel like I could cry right now if I thought about things too hard.
Yeah. It's 79 cents.
I wanna be wanted.
That's also a really big reason for it being my favorite right now is that it's 79 cents. Are you kidding me? 79 cents for a Cherry Coke in this economy? Are you kidding me? That's free. That's change on the floor.
I need to save the copy of this like unedited. Just to like come back one day when I'm not going through the trenches of heartbreak and listening to this and being like, haha, look at how down bad I was and now I'm good. Like, hopefully.
I hope that you can do that.
I hope that I can do that.
I think you will be able to. Now I'm down bad crying at the gym.
Everything comes. Yeah.
That's really getting me. Why is that a thing?
You could be myself. Okay. Boom, all right. Boom, boom, boom. Well, if you've made it this far, thank you so much for listening. We are hoping that we will have another episode out before exams. So if you guys have anything you want to hear us yap about, or we
follow
can just
follow us on the Instagram.
Yeah, we can just, you know,
ESAWLU.
Yeah, we'll do some story polls or something. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a Q&A next time.
What?
That would be really fun.
That would be so fun. Wait, which reminds me, off topic. Pause. Meet the profs next semester. You said that we should do a panel.
Yeah.
Should we do a panel? Look, I've been thinking about it. But when we say do a panel, like, what do we mean by that? Like, we ask them questions?
Yeah, we'll have like a moderated Q&A and then we'll open it up to the audience and then we'll do like a cocktail hour type vibe.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. And then I was going to be like, okay, we just like make sure that everyone in the ESA has like at least one question per prof prepared because I would hate to be there
and have no one questions. Do anything. Yeah. We can talk more.
Yeah, we also had like what's it called? Teachers College one or whatever that one. And like we didn't have questions and it was really awkward.
Yeah.
So like I want us to prepare
for Yeah. Okay. No, yeah, we can do that.
Sorry,
okay.
That just came.
No, that's okay.
Anyway, back to wrapping up. Turn off your phone. Take off those headphones and take a nap.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Like and subscribe. I don't know. Like and subscribe for more.
Leave a comment.
Leave a comment down below of what you want to see next time. And
tell us what your favorite kind of ice cream is. I'm curious. Mine is butterscotch ripple.
Okay. Anyways.
No, it's salted caramel truffle. I lied. What's your favorite kind of ice cream?
My favorite kind of ice cream is...
Did we say mint chip?
Mint chip.
Actually?
I don't know.
Ew.
I like ice cream.
Wait, I got an email. Who do you think
anyways,
it was?
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Stay cool, Laurier. I'm pausing it.